Coming to us over the Verizon network.
Which is failing.
Which is failing on us. Let's see if this actually works. Mr. Lance Epler.
He's gone.
He gone.
He gone.
Shut up and sit down.
I like to ride my bike.
I'd like to introduce you to a podcast with a lot of charm, talent, and wit. Unfortunately, I don't have that option, so instead, you are listening to the Dialed Podcast with Matt LeGrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Turing. Tip of the day, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That said, you know what you've got to do, so go get her done.
I got fancy little streamers coming out of my handlebars. I got carts in my spokes that make sounds as it flies the cars. I got lights all around and reflectors in the back. I basket on the front that a really useful rack.
But I hate cyclists, bike riders, people who ride bicycles.
Does someone need a hug?
Oh God, here it comes! Oh, hot, 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 hot! Hot, 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 hot! Hot, hot,
hot! Hi, and welcome back to the Dialed Podcast. I am Jake Von Dringen. I'm here with Matt LeGrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? You guys don't look that great today. How about that?
Take two.
Take two. We had a little technical difficulties. Where I said you guys looked good, and that threw everything off. So,
yep. Coming to us over the failed Verizon network, Mr. Lance Hepler.
It's Lance Hepler. Yes, I'm in Arizona at the moment, trying to get ready for our team training camp, which starts in a couple days. And so I have come early because that's what I do.
Does that mean the next podcast is going to be in Arizona on location?
Yeah.
You bring in all the gear?
I'm going to bring most of it. I've got a plan that I need to test later today to make sure it's executable.
That's cool. Cause you'll have the team to pull in. Yeah. That'll be good.
Would you be available for a call in possibly?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I can't foresee the future.
Or maybe we'll have to have you come break into the studio over here, yep. Set up everything and give us a call.
sounds technical. Sounds difficult.
Right on. Hey guys. We're going to do our normal podcast, but I wanted to say thank you to some special people out there who go by the term Patreon. We've got a bunch of Patreons, and we've got a few new ones that have joined the crowd. And I just wanted to welcome Chris Mann and Melinda Helms. So you guys want to say thank you? Say hi.
Huge thank you.
Huge thank you. Huge fans. Lance,
that's fantastic. That's exciting that we have a couple of new patrons. That makes me feel good.
I'm curious if they're wanting to follow Lance's exploits around the world, if they want to listen to actual podcasts and the stuff we have to talk about. So, but there's a nice little list. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody. Melinda Helms, Chris Mann, Edward Dudlick, Aaron Baraff, Mike Guyvan, Sarah Gates, Chris Rail, John Hatfield, Nathan Skanky, Perry York, John Hoffman, Mike Back, the Mike Redig, Champ Bailey. Still don't know who Champ Bailey is. The Hamless family, Dove Eric, Mark Radford, Chris Surratt, Chris Hitchcock, and the Wick family. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. You guys helped make this show go around. Pretty cool stuff, huh?
Yes, thank you.
Anyway, for the new people who just joined us, we will reach out to you via email and see how we can connect with you. But we've got some podcast stickers for you and some Dialed stickers in general. I wanted to share those with you. If any of the Patreons need a sticker refresh or would like a new sticker, give us a shout. We'll probably just send out emails to everybody just to connect with you and say hi and thank you and all that other fun stuff. But we want to get some of those things sent out. The other thing is I want to bring back the listener hot lap. You guys remember when we used to do that? The listener hot lap?
I'd love that.
I want to try and get one listener a month to come on to one of the podcasts that we're running. And we'd love to have our patrons reach out to us if they are interested. And that'd be fun to have you on the show. So look for information on that in that said email. Finally, we did a drawing a little bit ago by me. And the winner of the drawing who gets to pick something out of the grab bag down at the lab is Mr. Mike Back.
Congratulations, Mike.
Yeah. So you are the winner chicken dinner for this week and get to come down there and pick something out. So, just want to say thank you.
Snag some socks. Socks. It's always good to have socks.
There are socks in that bin. Good. There's actually a lot of cool stuff that's gotten thrown in that bin. We always get stuff from different manufacturers, different brands and whatnot, and cool things that come through. I'm like, you know what? This would be good for the old grab bag. So, yeah, come down and check it out, Mike. All right. We will be back next week with some more Patreon stuff. You guys ready to do the topic for this week? You guys have any idea there?
Yeah? Is it a hot topic? Lance is definitely not ready.
So hot, you gotta listen naked.
Lance is listening naked. Unfortunately, that's why we had to turn off the FaceTime.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we're back. We're gonna do another hot seat.
I may have just flashed the other two guys.
Little hot seat. So let's get that started right now. I think I'm gonna go first this week. Okay. If that's all right with you guys.
Whatever.
So there's some cool things that are happening in the old bike racing world right now, and one of them kind of caught my eye that was somewhat funny, and it. There's a little bit of a debate there, but I wanted to put this out there to you guys to see what your thoughts were. And my statement is that all bib shorts should have cargo pockets. Change my mind.
Aerodynamics. What about the aerodynamics?
Dude, it's so negligible, especially in road racing. Like if you're doing a full-on TT solo by yourself and you don't need to reach down there for any reason at ever, sure.
So we changed your mind. We won.
That's not road bike racing though. In gravel and mountain and all the things. Like I'm not out there doing.
Okay. Let's say the tour guys. You think they really need that little side pocket?
Why not? You never know.
They got like car fulls of things.
Not always.
I don't know.
Not always.
I feel like they've kind of got the whole back pocket thing down to a science.
I don't know. So when Chris Froome crashed his bike, wasn't he trying to get something out of the back jersey pocket? He was like sitting
which
up.
Which time?
And, no. Oh, speaking of Chris Froome, freaking retired, dude. Come on, get it over with. Just be
he
done.
He was in the headlines for something.
He crashed and he blamed it on the disc brakes again because he says they're the worst thing ever. They're not safe.
No, he blamed the slow wheel change on the disc brakes.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. I think
so. Why did he crash?
Do you think that he and Richie Porte hate disc brakes? Because I noticed Richie Porte was like retired and back on rim brakes, and I was like, cool, whatever, man, you do you. But I mean, I like having rim. Thank you.
I think Chris Froome was in a break, and so he was out in front, and then he got a flat, and the wheel change didn't take 10 seconds. It took like
13 seconds.
It took longer, and so because it took longer, like his lead evaporated, like the group caught him. I think that's what happened.
Maybe Froome struggled because usually when you're in that situation, like the rider gets things started before the team car comes and pulls in and the mechanic takes over.
Quick question. Is he not the GC guy for the Rwanda race for their little team that they have down there? I mean, would he not be the supported rider because they didn't really take too many other hitters because they're doing other bigger and better things? I'm pretty sure he was their GC guy. If he is the GC guy, isn't his backup bike right there? So the first thing they do is they stop, they grab his bike, and they swap bikes as opposed to changing it to flat.
Change? Yeah, I don't know.
Clearly, none of us watched that race because we don't know exactly what happened.
Well, he crashed, but, and he blamed it on the disc brakes. And I know that there was an issue maybe with the flat change, but he had another crash. He came in, his kit was torn up, and now, I could be wrong. I'm pretty stinking sure that I'm right, though, but he blamed it on the disc brakes.
Disc brakes are evil, Jake.
No. Anyway, case in point is when he had his original crash, the one that pretty much, we'll just say for all intents and purposes, ended his career.
Sure.
I think that's fair. Was he not trying to get something out of his jersey pocket or picking his nose?
He was putting off or taking off a drain jacket.
That's right.
Is that what it was? That's right. Okay.
Yeah, he was taking off a rain jacket or something, and a wind gust hit, and he was on a time trial bike. And he had
those cargo pants on, and that's what threw him off balance, I think.
Okay, so that was a whole tangent that led nowhere to my case here.
I brought it back.
But seriously, though, I really doubt, because I've been wearing cargo shorts now for, gosh, what, 2 or 3 years, Lance? You've been kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
That is, as a matter of fact, whenever I buy new ones now, I don't even get the standard issue bib. I always make sure that we have a cargo option in our team store when we purchase stuff. And that's what I purchase. And that's what I wear for road racing. That's what I wear for gravel. That's what I wear for mountain bike. It's what I wear for training.
It's funny because it's like, when you become a cyclist, you're like, oh man, having these pockets in the back of your shirt is so handy.
Yeah.
And then I think the same situation, right? Where you're kind of like, oh, having this little cargo pocket is so handy.
It is.
You realize it because you're just like, I've been living without this for this long.
We've had people that have actually purchased those and they're like, oh, it's a utility short, just thinking that you can ride it all over the place. They didn't even realize it had pockets until like several rides in. They're like, oh my God, there's a pocket down here. So you don't notice them. Yeah. They're tight and they hold a fair amount of stuff. And it's such a perfect place to put like a gel pack, or if you like to ride with your phone with you and you want to have access to it, it's a perfect place to put your phone. As a matter of fact, that's where my phone lives.
Yeah.
For somebody like me that's got a really bad left shoulder and a not so great right shoulder, I can get my arm back there now, but it's not safe for me to be fishing around for stuff. So it's just so nice to have that pocket right there on your thigh. It's super simple to get out. But if you're doing like long rides and you want to carry more stuff and you don't want to look like a turtle out there or a camel with a big old hump on your back because you got so much crap in there.
That's me.
Yeah.
You've seen me before, like with everything. I've multiple cameras and all the things. It's like, oh man, that's a rough
kitchen
look.
Sink. Yep.
It's also great for longer rides where you take more stuff with you. You can just pack things in, or gravel races, which has also been great because if you're actually racing and not stopping at the aid stations very much, you can just bring more stuff with you in your pocket. I'm the same as you, Jake. I haven't bought a regular pair of bibs in the last 3 years. I've just gotten more utility bibs or ones with pockets on the sides.
Let me try and talk you guys out of this. What's the price difference?
Same.
They're the exact same?
Yep.
It's like $20. $20.
It's not.
$20 difference?
No.
It's exactly the same?
I think it might be $5. I think so we work with a company called Core and they make fantastic stuff. Love it. And their standard race bib, if I'm not mistaken, is 20. And I think the gravel bib is like 25 or something like that.
See that $5 invested compound interest. Okay. Okay. Stick with me.
No.
You could own one of those cycling teams.
Yeah. I'm going to lose all of that money when I go pay my deductible because I crashed my bike trying to get something out of my back jersey pocket. Oh. So anyway, that's my thing is that I think that they really need to be like the mainstay, the staple. And I can't think of too many reasons why you would want to have anything else other than a cargo bib. And what's more is, have you guys seen what AG2R is going to be wearing at Strade Bianche this weekend?
No.
No? They are going to be wearing a denim bib short. It's a bold
move.
It's seriously, I'm looking at the picture right here. It has denim fabric in it, but it's a bib short and it's got the elastic cargo band or cargo pocket on the side.
Oh.
They're wearing these to Strade Bianche.
Those guys 100%. Are proving your point.
Yeah.
So we can expect to see you in all denim.
Oh like yeah. 100%.
Canadian tuxedo style.
Thing of beauty. What would happen if that was our next kit? That'd be so freaking
funny.
That would
be hilarious.
What would be after that? Corduroy? Every single pedal stroke.
The worst chafing of any team. Dialed cycling.
But seriously, what are the downsides other than maybe the most minute, minuscule aerodynamic loss? I mean, even that's going to be
extra fabric, extra weight.
It's extra weight, maybe a little bit thicker material just so it holds up, maybe the heat or whatnot if you're riding in a really warm weather.
It's another spot with, extra sewing pieces to it that could get, torn up and tattered. And
it's also an extra layer of protection if you go down, though.
Well, you could say that by just triple layering all of your stuff, but.
Yeah, well, just saying.
It's usually people's ass cheeks that are hanging out of their kits when they crash. It's not like their side thigh, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, because I keep my cell phone in the side pocket. Not my back pocket when I'm riding. And I've always thought if I go down and I land on that side, I could potentially damage my cell phone, more than it would if it was on my back. I do crash a lot. I haven't crashed on the road in a long time.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question about your cell phone when you put it in there. Do you put the screen side away from you or toward you when you're doing that?
I put it towards me. Same. unless it's a sweaty mess. And if I'm a sweaty, wet mess, then I put it away from me, because then the touchscreen doesn't work very well. If you pull it out, yep, it's soaking wet.
I put it towards me just so if I do fall, it does correct or protect the screen. And then that little case that I have on there supposedly maybe will protect itself a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. You don't run a case on your phone.
I like to go nude, like Lance. But the camera stuff has got all the bumps on it too, so that out makes more sense to me.
Yeah, there is that. But seriously though, can you guys change my mind? Do you think that that's?
I can't change your mind. I don't think I can change your mind. That extra $5 investment was my last hope.
Are you gonna get yourself a pair? Do you have any?
I don't have a pair. I have zero.
You need some.
Yeah, I do. I do need some. Sign me up. I'd like to try them.
Don't you have a birthday coming up soon, Matt?
Mm-hmm. I have five pairs.
Five pairs? I think I've maybe got six.
Do you have any that are soiled, gross, and you could send my way?
Yeah, currently. I could send you one that hasn't been washed yet.
Hey, Lance.
just write a couple more times, please.
Five pairs of the current design or five pairs total?
Five pairs total.
Oh, I got you. I've got you. Smashed, dude. I think I've got about eight pairs total.
Is the between team store still open?
It is.
Okay.
It was supposed to close last week, but we're still trying to get a few more things sorted out. We have to meet some minimums, so I had to poke and prod the team.
Yeah. Well, this is a good poke and prod. This is a podcast that our team listens to frequently. So,
hey, team, get on Slack.
Pick up the cargo pants, people.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wear like regular cargo shorts and be like, Jake. am I doing it right?
Yeah, we got to put some suspenders on them. Suspenders. So clip it on there. All right, so we're good.
We're good.
Cargo shorts, best thing ever. Best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah,
they are. That they're cool. I mean, I know that because I've listened to you guys talk about it for enough times that I'm just gonna.
You guys gonna pick up a pair of the AG2R Citroen denim cargo shorts?
I want the full denim. I want to go top to bottom, all denim.
If you're looking for a good laugh, I mean, they're actually kind of cool looking. I don't know.
I think they don't look that bad.
They would do really well in the gravel scene, I bet.
Yeah, they would.
And with gravel being as hot as it is, that'd be pretty funny. But watch the Strade Bianche this weekend. It's on Saturday, and those guys will be rocking that, and they'll be riding some beautiful BMC team machines, too.
Really? Yeah. They don't look ridiculous at all. If it were me, I would want to look ridiculous wearing all denim. That's just me.
What are you doing there, Lance?
Jean jacket.
I'm trying to look up who the favorites are for Strade Bianche because I suddenly had a brilliant
hot seat question.
So,
it's not going to be Wout van Aert because he's not going to be there. So
he's not going to be there.
No, he got sick and called it on that race and I guess put his focus on something else. But all right. That's my hot seat question. Matt, got one?
I have three hot seat questions and you guys can choose one. Okay. Sizzling hot. We could talk about the Zwift Hub for $500. Is it good value? We could talk about AMOLED screens on watches, which is pertinent to today because Garmin just released a couple new watches. Or hot seat question, race fees and prices with inflation. Those are pretty hot. Pretty hot.
I like the first two.
Okay. So Lance, you don't care?
I say hit both of them.
No, I don't care.
Hit both of them. Let's go.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Zwift Hub for $500, yay or nay?
Haven't ridden it, but I watched your video, and your feedback was it's good, but not great.
Right.
How does it compare? I mean,
I think it's a little worse than the Kicker Core.
I mean, the Kicker Core is a solid workhorse.
The Kicker Core is solid.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little long in the tooth in terms of hasn't been updated in, what, like 5 years?
Very long in the tooth. MSRP on that's $900.
Correct.
Zwift Hub is $500. Do you think that's good for the indoor cycling community?
If I was on a budget, I would 100% lean towards the Zwift Hub.
Yeah.
I think that it gets you in the game. It gets you power. It gets you all of the immersion and all that other fun stuff on a pretty decent platform. And it's probably going to be a step up from a lot of folks that are running fluid trainers.
I think so.
That if they wanted to save the money.
Fluid trainer, how much would that set you back? You think 200?
$200 to $300.
And I bet the used market is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you almost can't give those things away right now.
Yeah. Lance, how about you?
I love the cost of it. I think it's a great entry-level smart trainer. So I like that fact. But would I personally buy it myself? No, because...
What do you ride?
The Wahoo.
The Kicker?
I I ride a kicker bike. I ride a walking kicker bike.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah. I got which are super nice, but they're five times as expensive as the Zwift Hub.
Yeah.
But it's smoother and nicer and all it's really if for indoor riding it's like brilliant, but for a smart trainer, I mean, you've got Zwift Hub, you've got Wahoo Kickers, and you've got the Tax Neo, and it is the cheapest of those by far. So I haven't watched your video, Matt. Does it stand up?
It's
yes.
So I felt like it was a little bit clunky, especially at like higher grades. When it's simulating higher grades, it really kind of fizzles out. Accuracy is only 2% compared to 1%, which is kind of 1% is kind of like the standard now for power accuracy in the Zwift Hub's at 2%. I still think it's like for people that are like, I do not want to spend much money. What do I get? I think that's still my recommendation.
Is it good for racing? Or do you think you are going to be at a disadvantage with people with more accurate?
The standard now for that 1% accuracy is like, that's the racing standard. So it doesn't even qualify for
really
the racing standards, but those are like standards for very competitive Swift racing.
Yeah, sanctioned.
Exactly. Yeah. So is it okay for racing? I'd say for me, it's fine.
So when it deviates, say to 2%, is that helping you or hindering you? Or is it, could it go
either
both
way.
Ways?
Either way. Yeah, gotcha. We don't know. Yeah. I have yet to switch my bike back over to the Tax Neo 2, which is probably about three times as expensive.
Yep.
So the Zwift Hub isn't holding me back that much. Mm-hmm. I definitely notice like a clunky feeling when I'm climbing on it and stuff.
Yeah.
But
what about noise?
It's fine.
Right there with the kicker core.
Yep.
Flywheel. How did that feel?
It's just too light. It's 5 pounds or whatever.
And, oh wow, that is quite a bit less.
Yeah, and I think the kicker core is like 8.
Yeah,
something
that's
like 7 or 8.
It might even be more than that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah,
you probably know this more than I do because
Wahoo stuff, like then their normal high end trainer is 16 or 12 or
maybe
something.
Maybe that's what I've got going through my head.
Yep, and that's the standard. Like if you get like a high end trainer, you're looking at 12 to 16 pound flywheels versus these I think the entry level ones are going to be more like 5 to 7. Mm-hmm. So, and that flywheel is what makes the trainer feel natural.
Yep.
And so you want the biggest you can get, but yeah, I'm very happy that Zwift has made this. It's just, they're rolling through some manufacturing issues. Like the flywheel rubs against the plastic housing of mine and stuff. And it's and there's some other issues. So it's just like one of those things where it's like, the idea and the concept is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the price point is fantastic. And for what their goal is, this thing is perfect. It's just that the execution on that is a little rough around the edges.
Gotcha. Now, I know in your video that you alluded to the fact that when you were doing your sprint intervals, you kept hitting your head on the ceiling because it just kept stopping you because your watts are just too massive.
Yeah.
How did that feel when you got up there in those high numbers?
I think max wattage on that is 1,800 watts, and I did not see that number.
Thought you said it was 1,700.
1,700?
I think that's what you said in your video.
Whatever.
I could be wrong.
I think it's 1,800.
Or do you feel any noticeable difference? I'm sure you did some interval work on there.
Yeah.
Did you feel any difference in there? Was it like kind of janky or did it feel kind of clunky when you're getting up in there in those higher watts?
Not really. It really only felt like, I think you're going to lose some accuracy at the higher watts. Like if you're doing a sprint, so I compared it to a couple different power meter pedals and you could see like it was just reporting slightly off data. But when you get those higher numbers, that percentage is going to be like more significant. Whereas when you're, the spots where I noticed it feeling clunky were like when I was actually going slow on some climbs, it was just like, it just couldn't really keep up with like a slow, low gear grinding kind of effort.
Gotcha.
That's where I noticed it the most.
All right.
Yep.
Would you buy one over a kicker core?
So at the end of the video, I say, currently I'm willing to invest more in indoor cycling. And that's just me, and it's because I don't want to get killed on the road, basically. I'm happy to know that, like, if I go, we've talked about this on the podcast before, where it's like, even when the weather's nice, sometimes we'll ride indoors because, you're going to get a good workout in, like life is easy. Just hop on the trainer and get it done. You can kind of get it done any time of day. It's just easy. And so I've been kind of willing to invest more money in the indoor cycling situation at my house. And so I don't think it's the right trainer for me personally, but if I was a college kid and like money was tight,
yeah,
this is kind of perfect for that situation.
Yeah. I think. How much does a Peloton cost again? Aren't those things about $3,000 ish?
I don't know. Their pricing has been changing a lot. I think they're getting into, I think this post pandemic situation where everyone jumped on Peloton during the pandemic, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, we can go outside. Like, things are starting to struggle with that company.
Well, that company was having some hard times. So my point is there's a lot of people that are trying to dump their Peloton bikes.
Yeah, that's true.
They might get just enough money to go buy themselves a Zwift Hub for their bike. So
you think they're going to trade? You're going to trade out the Peloton for the Zwift Hub?
Potentially.
Would
you?
We need a bike to go on.
I think
on
they're
it.
Different.
Well, there's that too, but
I'm
sure they got a beach cruiser out there in the garage. You can run that on there, right?
what is nice is the setup process is super smooth. It's like comes with a cassette, which
nice.
With the Wahoo Kicker Core does not.
You're going to be spending another $40-$50 on
and
that.
And you got to put it on there, which for some people is not a problem at all.
Yeah.
But for other people, it's like, I don't have the tools to put this cassette on this thing or whatever, and I'm not familiar with this. There's a lot of good things going for that Zwift Hub.
They ask you what cassette you want. So they give you options of different speeds, but they don't put it on for you, huh?
They put it on for you.
They install it for you?
Yep. So I said, give me an 11 speed.
Okay. Oh, I thought you just said that you had to put it on yourself, but you were maybe.
But no, for the kicker core.
That's what you're talking about. Gotcha.
So you'll just say, like, give me an 11 speed. It comes installed. You put the legs on, and that's about it.
That's pretty straightforward.
Pretty good.
Yeah, the box too was kind of cool. They had a bunch of stencils in there that you could use for determining like the width of your stays and whatnot.
This is a confession that's going to probably get me kicked off the podcast, but it's like, I don't remember what size drop, like the distances between my dropouts. I'm like, the little cardboard thing,
142.
Super nice.
Yeah.
But 142. But then, well, I've got the.
If you're quick release, you're 135.
Yeah. Yep. Quick release. And then.
If you got boost on your mountain bike, which I don't think you do, that would be a 148.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you've got that little stencil there. And
that little thing there.
Do it it's for great.
Yeah. I like that. Pretty I think slick. They should. That should be standard across all trainers.
Cool. All right. Well, Lance is saying he's not buying it. Matt's
investing. I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it either, but I think it's a good option.
I don't think we're the market for it.
Yeah. Was it $500 plus shipping, plus tax and all that other fun stuff?
I think it was... So I didn't pay for it, but it
did. They send it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's $500 plus tax.
Okay.
I don't know if it's free shipping.
Cause those things aren't light. I think you said they're about 47 pounds is what that was.
Yeah. 45 and a half.
And shipping on that, if I were to ship it and I ship stuff pretty regularly, it's probably going to be somewhere in the ballpark of $40 to $50. And you got to imagine if they're going to soak that up too, there's not a lot of margin left in there. So are they,
I don't think they're making any money on this.
They're just trying to keep people in their ecosystem.
They're probably breaking even. Maybe they're trying to cover some of the research stuff, research money that they put into it. But I think they're just trying to get people on their Zwift gaming platform. And you don't have to use it on the gaming platform. You can use it anywhere.
Quick question. Does it work on RGT?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't test that.
All right.
But there's no reason why it shouldn't. It pumps out power.
Yep.
And it should work. Hmm. It connects just like any sort of controllable smart bike trainer.
Good stuff.
I'm going to look up the shipping thing just because I'm curious about the price of that, if that's in there or if it's free.
Yeah. Do you want to do your next one, or should we come back to you after Lance does his?
Well, it depends on if Lance is ready.
Lance, are you ready for a hot seat question?
Do you need
question?
More time?
Now I have like two options for hot seat questions.
Oh, no. Okay, well.
Laying down what's hot. So
go. We'll come back to Matt.
Okay, so let's talk about, I'm gonna throw an Evan Price question in the mix.
The answer's no.
Evan is Evan hasn't been on the show for a couple months. He's busy. We love him. We miss him. It's all good.
Well, it's not his fault. We've been recording on weird days, and he's only got small windows of time. So
he's got like Mondays, and we're like, nope.
Anyway, go.
Okay, so
I'm drinking coffee, by the way. I'm drinking coffee, so if that's what you're going to ask, I'm just going to beat you to it. Coffee.
you're already there.
Go.
Strade Bianche is this weekend. It is a gravel-ish race on the UCI calendar in Italy, in the Tuscany region of Italy. Who you got? Who you picking for Strade Bianche?
Pogaccia.
Okay. Yeah, that's hard to
beat. Pogaccia is there. Julian Alaphilippe is there.
He just crashed. He's not
Vanderpool.
Winning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. MVP.
Okay, Vanderpool.
I'll pick MVP just option. because Jake said whoever you said.
Pogaccia.
Pogaccia.
I got you.
Hitchcock is also there. Ooh, so there's quite a few. Yeah, just Van Aert, you know, Wout Van Aert is not making the race because he's been sick, like Jake said. So
that's such a bummer. That would have been just, oh man, that would have been fireworks. So, but I still am going to say Pogacar. I still think that he's got something up his sleeve again.
I think MVP comes down to a sprint. MVP pulls it out.
Ooh, I would like to see that.
That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic. Unfortunately, I think I'll be sitting on a plane when said bike race is going down. But
yeah, with the team.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to watch it either because I'm not sure where I'm going to be.
Where can we watch it? Is it like GCN or Flow, is it Flow Bikes? I think.
Flow Bikes. It's either Flow Bikes or GCN. It's on one of those two, but it will be on one of those two.
We were at Team Cap last year watching that, and I think that Chris Surratt, if I'm not mistaken, was having it streamed from his phone to our big screen TV that we had the house that we rented on Flow, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, anyway, maybe.
Is that early in the morning? GCN, it's in Europe, right? So is it going to be at 4 in the morning?
It'll be at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., depending on how much they... Because sometimes they don't do the whole race because it's like 6 hours or 5 hours. Sometimes they just do like the last 3 hours, and sometimes they do the whole thing, and I don't know.
Going back to one of the names that you threw out there, do you know what's going on with Alaphilippe? He had a crash, I think it was last week. I mean, sure, he's probably pretty good, but... Is that lingering still for him?
He's a whole lot better than he was last year. You know, he crashed out mid-season last year and was very injured. Collapsed lung and broken ribs.
Yeah.
But this last crash, I'm not sure what the outcome is of this last crash. I just know that it set him back a little bit. So I'm not sure that, you know, how much he's going to be there.
Cool. Who are you taking?
Pogacar, if he gets away, he's hard to beat, you know?
He can, so he's funny because he'll sprint too. Like he's a cagey little rider.
Yeah, but he can't Vanderpool sprint.
No, right.
Yeah. No, that's a different set of sprint legs. But
yeah.
Do you think that Vanderpool's got that many attacks in him? Pogacar's just got so many matches to burn. And he's gonna get away, and he's gonna get away with some people, and he's gonna attack that group again, and probably do the same thing that he did last year. I mean, he got away pretty early, and he just rode to the finish all by himself.
Correct. He just rode away from them, especially those last two. There's like that one last, there's like one last final climb into this city, and he just like rolled from them. Okay. So,
I'll come back to this then. Who's gonna win this race? Not named Tadej Pogacar.
I say Vanderpool.
Vanderpool? Matt's taking Vanderpool too?
Yeah.
I'll go Pitcock.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not? Sure. I mean, Evenepoel's not going to be there, right?
I don't think so.
Lance can't make up of his mind if he wants to be a landscape or portrait here. Just watching him do circles on the phone. Evenepoel, he looked pretty strong at the UAE race, but I think that... Did he end up winning that?
He's not.
Huh?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did win it.
Yeah,
but,
he didn't win the last race.
Evenepoel is not.
He's not racing. Gotcha. All right. Well, I'll say Pitcock just for sake of saying something different than MVP.
That's gonna be a good race to watch.
Yeah,
that's gonna be fun.
All right. Well, cool. Well, that's a good one.
Yep.
Matt, do you want to do another one?
Okay. I think every single one of us in the podcast here has a sizzling.
Got a sizzle. It's hot.
Every single one of us has an AMOLED touchscreen watch at this table.
Those things are so hot.
They're so hot. Garmin today just released two new watches, the Garmin Forerunner 265 and the Garmin Forerunner 965, both with AMOLED touchscreens. Do you guys think that it's worth the extra, we'll say $50 to have your watch be an AMOLED touchscreen?
I absolutely love my Epix 2. It's got the AMOLED screen on it. It even when it's on full brightness all day long, it still lasts for 6 days.
Yeah.
And I've since switched it over to where it turns off unless I turn the watch up to look at it or I touch the face. And then it lasts for, I think it's 16 days.
Yep.
I never even think about charging it. It's fantastic. I love the look of it. It's very clean. The face itself has a very sharp resolution to it. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I think it's like a little computer on your wrist that looks like a nice little computer screen, and I prefer that to the, like, my wife wears the
transflective display of the Phoenix.
She's got Phoenix 7. Yeah. So when I look at hers, it just looks flat and boring. So,
but I think if you saw it outside, like if you were actually out on a bike ride with it and you had them like side by side, I think the transflective in direct sunlight would look better in some ways. They're close.
That's a very specific scenario that I don't necessarily like to be exactly direct in the sunlight.
Well, even if you're looking at an angle, right? Yeah. Like, especially if you're just like glancing at it, I do think the transflective displays look pretty good from like kind of being outside and at weird angles and things like that.
So I don't use my watch when I'm riding, because I'm looking at a bike computer, and it's got all of the metrics that I need. I do look at it from time to time, though, if I get like a text message and I don't have those being pushed through to my computer, because that gets annoying to me.
And those bike computers are transflective displays.
Yeah. And those are great, too. But if I had, you know, I was like a runner and a triathlete and I was just wearing the watch, I don't know. That might change my mind just a little bit, but I still really dig this AMOLED screen. So. You're the better person to ask that question. I mean,
well, it's just timely because today Garmin made this announcement or whatever. And it's interesting because they just announced the previous version of those devices, the 255 and the 955, like, I don't know.
And it was
basically 6 months ago.
And the timeline between the 945 LTE and the 955 wasn't that big
that's about a whole year. It was about a year.
Was it?
Yep.
I thought it was less than
exactly
that.
Exactly a year to the day, I think. Because I just looked at this stuff. Typically, it's like 2 years or so at least before watches for updated cycles. And this one was like 6 to 8 months or something. It's crazy.
Okay, so that means all the 955s, and there are still a bunch of 945s floating around out there, are going to be on sale. And is it worth it to go drop the full retail price on a 965, knowing that you're going to get the AMOLED screen, versus like a 955 that just might be a few months hold?
Right.
Or it's still brand new in the box. I mean, they're going to be discounted because that's the new latest and greatest thing.
Maybe.
Which one's the better way to go?
I think that it's tricky because, like, a lot of times manufacturers will only update their newest device with software and features. Mm-hmm. And so I think it comes down to kind of like, how long is Garmin going to support the 955? And they've kind of said, like, we're going to do it for, you know, a couple of years. And then after that, we might move our feature focus to the AMOLED touchscreen device of the 965. Don't want to mess up all my numbers. But I do think that the 955 should stick around. I don't know if it's even going to be on sale. I think it's just going to be like right in line, almost as if this 965 should have been called the 955X or AMOLED or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. They, from a dealer standpoint, it would have been super nice if they'd done that, because nobody's going to want to come in and buy something that's an older, lesser number.
Right.
I don't know.
I think that's the case. I think it's hard on the dealers, and it's hard on the people that, you know, in the past probably 3 months or so, we'll just say Christmas, have made this big purchase, and they're like, crap. Had I waited another couple of days, I would have seen this new AMOLED device. Yeah. So,
now, what say you, Lance Epler?
So I have an AMOLED watch. I have the Epix 2, and what's the drawback of not having the AMOLED?
It's a huge battery is like the big
it's
one.
It's battery.
Right.
That's it. All the benefits of having the AMOLED display, to me, just completely outweigh the battery issue with it, because it's not really an issue.
You're like one of the few people that I think, because you're probably outdoors more than Jake and I. I don't know.
Yeah,
it seems like you are.
100%.
And you're the one person that might actually really enjoy having that transflective display with like a month-long battery life and a flashlight built into it. Like, there's some really cool stuff on the Garmin devices that are powered, you know, by transflective displays.
That's good to know.
I'm just gonna let you borrow one and just like be like, just try this. Put it on your other wrist. You can see if you miss the AMOLED. I think what happens is it's great. It's great. You'll have the AMOLED. You'll be like, this is bright. This looks better. But when you put on the transflective, you're like, this is still good. And it goes so much longer battery life-wise.
Is that going to get through an entire triathlon? Like, say, a 12 or 13-hour triathlon?
Oh, yeah.
Full GPS, full everything? Yeah. How much battery juice is going to be left? Are you going to be kind of cutting it close?
No, you're pretty good on these. So full triathlon, you have 17 hours to complete the Ironman distance race. After that, they're kind of like, I mean, they'll kind of let you finish or whatever, but you're technically not an Ironman. You don't get the announcement at the finish or whatever. And they're clearing the course. They're like cleaning their, you know, golf cart kicking sweeping you in the heels,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
But but yeah, I think this watch will go 20 hours. So you're fine.
You're within the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Any price difference?
Yes. Typically, it's hard to say for sure. The 965, you can get a $500 transflective watch, or you can get the $600 solar version, uh-huh, or the $600 AMOLED version. Uh-huh. But those are the price points for that. And then the 265 is similar. It's maybe like $50 difference, kind of. It's like $350 for the regular 255. And then if you get the 255 music, it's $50 more. And then if you get the AMOLED and music, mm-hmm, it's another $50, I think. So that's $350, $400, and $450.
Interesting.
Yep.
There's a lot of options out there. That's another tough thing for sometimes. I mean,
it's tricky for people to pick. And I keep telling people, like, I don't know if I would get the 255 music, because it's like, I think if you're going to get the discounted watch, like, save the money. $50 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Just save it. Save it for something else.
Yeah.
Put it towards a bike computer.
There you go. Interesting. All right. Well,
that's that.
Cool. Lance, you said you had a second one. Do you want to hit us with it real quick and we'll move on?
Nope. I decided it sucks, so let's move on.
Yeah, that idea that you didn't say.
I want to know what it is. You can't do that.
That idea sucked. Whatever it was.
That idea sucked. Well, it was about cold weather riding, because we've had this snowstorm that has hit the Northwest and California and Arizona and Utah. And I mean, here we are. It's March 2nd, and we're dealing with snow. I drove through Vegas yesterday. The mountains around Vegas are covered in snow. Mm. There's snow in Tucson in the mountains this morning. There's snow. I'm in Mesa, Arizona at the moment, and all the mountains around Mesa are covered in snow, which is really rare.
Yeah.
We need fat bikes.
Studded tires, well, fat bikes. So
that was my question is, what's your favorite thing to, you know, what do you do when it's really too cold and you're sick of riding on the trainer? Do you just suck it up and ride the trainer?
Yeah.
Or do you put every piece of gear on and go for it?
We got a big snowstorm that came through where we live a week and a day ago from the time that we recorded this podcast.
But the snowstorm lasted a week, so.
Well, I still have snow all over my yard, and that's atypical. There. I mean, we kind of have like novelty snow. We'll get snow. It'll be here for a day, maybe two, three if it was a bad storm. We're 8 days later and there's still snow everywhere. There's still piles everywhere. And this past weekend, it was still too bad. I was half thinking about, like, well, maybe the temp will come up a little bit, or rain, things will melt and all that other fun stuff. And no, it just wasn't going to happen. So I had to get big rides in. I sat on the trainer for almost 6 hours this past weekend. It sucked.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I kind of feel like we can talk about this when we're doing our back pedal, but it was one of those things where, you know, triathlon, you do, like, if something, you can't go to the pool because the, you know, it's closed because of snow conditions or whatever, you jump on the bike, you have a lot of alternatives. But after a week of, like, just being like, I'm just going to jump on the trainer for another half hour, it's just like so much trainer time. I almost feel like my training doesn't have any direction whatsoever, which is kind of what we talked about on the podcast last week. Mm-hmm. It's just like, well, I got to get something in today.
Yeah.
Going to go hop on the trainer, the Zwift Hub, and ride that Zwift Hub until it's worn out.
Yeah. All right. Well, we kind of answered your question. There you go, Lance.
Yeah, that's good.
This is bad answers, but a good question.
All right. Well, that was fun. So some good questions there. Appreciate that, boys. How about this guy?
Champ. Is he here?
Top five.
Oh,
barely.
Shipping for the Zwift Hub.
Oh,
so shipping for the Zwift Hub is $25.
Okay, that's not too bad. I mean, no, they're making you eat some of it, but they're kind of I'm guessing
a little meat in the middle, kind
of. Few bucks are coming out of their pocket on that. So, all right, well, cool.
All right, Champ here, and shipping is available for Champ Bailey as well. Whatever.
How much is that going to set you back? $25. $24.99.
Just. Send it to Lance Hepler at Comcast.net. There's not a whole lot to talk about this week, or maybe I just haven't been involved because I've been in my van for the last 5 days, actually, as I've been traveling across the West Coast. But There are some big races coming up. Paris-Nice is coming up, and there will be a bit of a showdown in Paris-Nice this year. I think Vingegaard and Pogacar are both showing up at Paris-Nice, so that should be interesting.
That's going to be pretty interesting.
Vingegaard looking strong.
Really?
Looking really strong.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Dang. He did this race in Spain. There was a stage race in Spain, and he pretty much dominated it like Pogacar dominated the race that he had done. So he won every like mountaintop stage. He just he crushed it. That was kind of fun to watch.
Interesting.
But yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens as, you know, things start out here. So, but I don't have a whole lot of results to talk about. Or okay, wait, did we talk about Omloop last week?
No.
I don't know if we did.
No.
Because the first like one big one day spring races in Belgium started to happen, and Jumbo Visma,
oh yeah, that's right,
dominated. He just dominated. So Dylan Van Baarle, he's a new rider for Jumbo Visma this year, and he went to Omloop, which is, you know, like a 6-hour race around Belgium on cobbled climbs. And Jumbo Visma just set him up, and he won by like 30 seconds. He broke away near the end and just kind of crushed it. And I think his teammate ended up getting second or third in the field sprint. So Jumbo did very well. And Kern, I believe, is another race. I think I messed up that name, but and Jumbo Visma won that as well. So, you know, it's not going to be all just the, you know, the UAE show this year or Ineos show this year. You know, I guess Jumbo Visma has been coming on, but
they've been okay.
It should be interesting. Yeah, they've been good. But it's funny that, you know, Jumbo Visma added Dylan Van Baarle, and that might take some wins away from Wout Van Aert, because right. These are races Wout would be vying at, although he hasn't done any of them yet.
Or so maybe that's, maybe you got a lead out, man, or who, I mean, I don't know how it's going to go.
Or save legs for something bigger and better. I don't know.
You're right.
Yeah. The actual monuments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just the one day races. Yeah.
That team is sick. They're on SRAM, right? Uh-huh. And SRAM just had an announcement that we should have talked about with our tech corner.
Yep.
Or maybe that was your one last thing. I don't know.
No, it's not. That was one of my potential hot topic questions, I'll just leave it be.
But they just announced new Axis Force.
Correct. Which is curious.
I was going to ask you, because I have no idea. I haven't even looked at the reviews.
A lot of times I'm in a position where I get a lot of people that will give me information well ahead of time. Matt's in that same boat too, with a lot of the stuff that he does in review land. But, I don't know what it is about like the drivetrain manufacturers. Like you just got to be special, and I'm just not. But I didn't get any of that information. I knew something was coming because you see the trends you see like, oh, they're putting stuff on sale even for distributors to buy. Like, okay, and then they're allowing you to, you know, get rid of MAP pricing, which is the minimum amount that you can advertise it for. Like, okay, they're moving through product because something's coming down the pipeline, and it's been 4 years since they came out with something. So we knew something was come out, but we just didn't know when. And then all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, brand new Force group set. I'm like, that's fantastic. But it's curious that they didn't come out with the red stuff first, because that's typically what they do is like your top shelf, your top tier stuff. They come out with that and then it's a trickle down.
Well, and I haven't really looked into this and I don't know what's new. That's kind of what I was going to ask you. But it sounded like they brought some of the stuff some of the updates that they had made to their even lower group set that needed to come into the Force. Is that correct? What's the lower group set? The Rival?
Rival, to be honest with you, I haven't gone and read all of the articles yet. I've just been up to my eyeballs. But I did see a couple things that they now have an integrated power meter in the chain rings, just like they do on the SRAM Red with the Quark power meter built into it. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's kind of crappy. Like, what happens when your chain rings wear out? Well, you get basically a reserve amount of money. So if you need new chain rings, you send it back or you go back to whoever provides it for you. And then you just get a new one, less the cost of the power meter. So you're basically just paying for the rings, which is kind of cool.
That is nice.
That now is available with the Force, which just makes it a solid unit, which less moving parts, less good less things to go wrong. And I'm wondering, like, is this going to be a potential solution to the issue that you've had with your early iteration Force crankset? That
like change out the front ring and see if it's all better. Yeah. And that'd be interesting.
It's all backwards compatible. So if we just put a whole new crankset on there with a new power meter, is that going to solve your chain drop problem that you've been having since day one?
We could try it. I don't know how much that sets you back, but the other thing is, and this is such a minor thing, but it's like one of those things where I'm like, this audience will care. They have this new little charging hub, and it's a four. You know how like we all have these little like charging things floating around the house, right? So it's a four. You know, and you probably have this for GoPro, but it's like a four battery charging thing, USB-C.
Yeah,
you guys are all gonna want this.
I need that in my life. Oh. Matt.
Yeah,
so do I.
My birthday's not until November, but you can buy one for me for, Easter or something.
Easter gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool, it's such a minor thing, but it's like, yep, I need that.
Yeah, I love the Force Access batteries. The ETAP batteries are fantastic, and they're so easy to change out, and it's so easy to keep an extra one with you.
But that's what you need. Yeah, I was going to say, you need an extra one. You have to have one extra, floating around.
Yeah, it's I've got two bikes that have that, and I've probably got eight batteries. Mm. I don't know how I got so many of them, but I've always got batteries charged, but it's always nice to have one with you.
Yeah.
Because if you do that in Shimano land, you're up a creek without a paddle, my friend.
Yeah. Well, and think about even like team camp, right? Like having a little four battery hub thing just ready for anyone to drop a thing and battery on there and charge, or just grab one that's already charged up.
Yep.
Anyway, minor thing to figure out, throw it out there.
Back to you, champ.
Champ out.
Champ out. Champ Bailey out.
All donezo. All right, let's do some lead out and lead out. We just did lead out. Back pedal.
Back pedal.
Oh God. Sometimes I don't drink enough coffee or I'm too tired. And then sometimes I drink too much. And yeah, it's one of those days. All right, let's back pedal.
Can you crap your pants?
The old crap your pants.
Lance, you want to back pedal? I think you're probably the only one that's done anything remotely cool.
I've barely done anything remotely cool. So I've spent like 3 days in Utah, on our way here. And it was freezing cold in Utah. I did manage to get out for one outside ride where there was like a 15 mile an hour wind. And I did all these sweet set intervals into the wind and out of the wind and around West Mountain and around Utah Lake, which was like, it was wonderful, but it was just freaking cold out. Since then, I haven't ridden outside yet again. I'm in Arizona. I'm in Mesa right now. And I ended up, I rode on the trainer this morning because it was 38 degrees when I woke up this morning here. So
you have like your travel trainer or something?
No, Lance is a smart man. He planted a trainer at his sister's house.
I did.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is Lance. I'm going to give you this trainer as a wonderful gift for you in the back of his head. Ha, ha, ha. Now I've got a trainer posted here and I can come ride it whenever I want.
I'm going to decorate this room. It's not going to be yellow. Wait, was it yellow? Is that the color? No, green. Green. I'm sorry. I'm going to decorate this room, not lime green and
lime green.
And it's going to have a trainer.
Yep. It's true. I did do a ride on a Feedback Sports Omnium trainer in a hotel room one day as well.
What are you doing in a hotel?
So,
what are you doing in a hotel?
We were prepping for this big national podcast that my wife and I
that's right.
did this last week. And so
you guys didn't want to roll in all disheveled and hair messed up and hadn't taken a shower in a few days.
Correct.
That's correct. You don't want to look like your normal self, which is totally understandable.
Because if you look at me now, I mean, what am I wearing for you guys?
Exactly.
It's like not
Lance,
much.
Lance, no pants.
So yeah, we got a room for a night or two so that we could, because it was actually it's going to be posted on YouTube as well. And we
wanted to look presentable.
We wanted it pretty for it. We tried to be prettier than we normally are. So,
do you want to talk about that at all, Lance? Or do you?
I think I don't mind talking about it. I mean, it was, my wife and I have been Mormon our entire lives, and we have left the church in the last few years. And this podcast was about that story of, you know, how we grew up in the church, what our experience was in the church, how well it treated us, until it wasn't treating us right and we decided to not be a part of it, and how our family grew closer together after leaving the church, and how we have been happier and we seem to be closer, and, you know, with me and my wife and our three kids since we have left. And that's kind of a unique experience for people that have grown up in the LDS Church and then have kind of moved away from it. And so that's why we were invited to come on this podcast to kind of tell our story. So that show won't come out for a few weeks yet.
Yeah, I know that was tough for you. The whole, like, not just doing the podcast that you just did. I'm talking about, like, the whole past couple of years. That's a big thing. I mean, this has been your entire life, and to make that's a life-changing decision for you.
It's a very big part of my identity. My entire life is that I'm LDS and I'm Mormon, and that's been a very big part of who I am. And so to disassociate from that has been difficult. Yes, very difficult. So that's what this show is about.
It's probably safe to say, though, that you're still a spiritual guy, but you're just not governed anymore. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that would be correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so. I don't know how to respond to that other than I'm happy for you. We'll just say that. I'm happy for you because you have been chipper the last few years, and that's a good thing because I know that that was weighing on you. So good on you, my friend.
It has been weighing on us. Well, thank you very much. So,
all right. Anything else?
Nope. That's good.
Cool. Hey, Lance, Matt's going to go now.
Oh,
okay.
backpedaling. Like we talked about, I kind of touched on this earlier. The snow has been snowing and the roads have been pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple of runs, I would say. At first, it was really quite difficult to run. And I did a couple of runs where it was just like back and forth have these things on your shoes that are called yak tracks that keep you from slipping. I love them. I'm a huge fan of them. I've been using them since I lived in Michigan, where I would just leave the yak tracks on my shoes for 3 or 4 months.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm a big fan of these little gripper things. It's just a coil. So I was able to run a little bit in the snow, just short things. And then the snow has let up a little bit. Now I've been back on my standard Heritage Trail stuff in the morning. So that's been good. And then there was a block where I couldn't swim because of the pool closure stuff with the snow. And so that was like, just go get on that Zwift hub, wear that thing out. It's been fun. It's been solid. And then since the snow has let up a touch the past couple of days, I have not been back on the trainer, which kind of goes back to my question of like, oh, it's, you know, we were talking with Ian about just, you know, having a training program and having a plan and all that stuff and how that's just really extremely beneficial. You really start to look at your own plan and you're just like, I'm just winging it. Yeah. Like, what can I do today? Well, I'll sneak this in and then that's what I do. But the swimming is going well. I did a swim workout before coming on the podcast and it was excellent. It was like the main set was 16 times 100 and I really was happy with where I'm at there.
Good on you.
Yep. Got to probably do some triathlons this summer.
Your arms look like they're hanging a little bit today, man.
They're quite tired after that workout. Yep.
All flippity floppity.
Flippity and floppity. How about you?
This past week was just like you. I was stuck indoors with the snow. I thought maybe I could sneak out on Saturday or Sunday, and that just was not going to happen. So I ended up riding on the trainer. If you look at Zwift, not Zwift, I wasn't on Zwift. If you look at Strava, I was on there like 9:45, mm-hmm. 9 hours and 45 minutes. But actually, and I got a little bit of a bone to pick with RGT/Wahoo. I actually rode about 10 hours and 15 minutes, but there were a couple workouts that I was doing, and the it basically crashed. RGT crashed. And that's really been upsetting me, but I just kind of kept my opinion to myself, thinking maybe this is just a one-off thing with me. On Saturday, I was riding, and we did about a 3.5-hour ride. We did the Gorge Gravel Grinder, which that's one of the things I love about RGT is you can upload the routes. We were doing a Gorge Gravel Grinder, and there was a lot of us. I think there was like 12 people that showed up to do that ride, and it's a 65-mile ride. Anyway, we're doing the ride, so my wife comes in at one point because she's going to get on the bike next to me, and she's going to do her workout, and she was having a hell of a time getting the thing to just log in. It kept giving her like server errors and all that stuff. I'm like, my arm's working fine. I don't know. And she's going through like restarting her iPad and all that stuff. So she finally gets on there and she starts her workout. She's about 15, 20 minutes into it. And then the program just crashed.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the heck? And she's already upset at it. And she's like, I'm going back to Zwift, and telling me like that she where RGT can go. And we finally got it back up and running. And the annoying part about it is if you're doing a workout and let's say you're 20 minutes into it, the screen just goes blank and the app just is gone. Then you start it back up and RGT will pick up where it left off, which is good. However, it doesn't have the workout attached to the program anymore. So you ended up just like turning it off and you have to start all over from the beginning.
And does it kick you into like a free ride?
It's a free ride, but you're still in the same. And you're
but you
the
have
same,
your time you, and your you distance, have, your prior data.
All that stuff is there, but the workout, you can't restart the workout.
You're starting the workout at the beginning.
You have to start all over again. Yep. And so she did the same thing that I did. I just deleted the whole thing. So I lost about, on two different occasions, about 20-ish, 30-ish minutes of riding and started the workout again.
If you're losing 20 or 30 minutes per week, every week, that's kind of
annoying.
It's going to be annoying.
We talked about a little bit in our team ride that we did, and thankfully we don't have these issues when we do the team rides, but we don't have these issues, but we were talking about it over voice, which is another fantastic option
that's
on there.
A nice tool.
And a few other people mentioned that they have the same issues as well, of RGT just basically turning off, crashing. So that's kind of a bummer. But anyway, the moral of the story is I did get over 10 hours again for the fourth or fifth week in a row.
Nice
and
work.
Yeah, my hip is feeling really good.
Good. That's
really
huge
good.
Going into
I've
training
changed
camp. So.
So many things, and I've been doing all this stuff. And I want to be able to point to one thing and say that's it. But I think it's just, I think it's, it's a bunch of things that I'm doing together that's caused it to feel much better. It's not perfect, but it's highly manageable. Fitness feels good. I'm not cramping as much, and I'm not feeling strained, and I'm not feeling that pain, that deep pain in my hip, which was a real problem for almost 6 months.
Yeah,
so,
that's a big one.
Kind of nervous about that, but I think I'm ready, and we're going to fly out of here on Saturday and head on down to Tucson, catch up with Mr. Lance Hepler down there, and go ride bikes and put lots and lots of miles.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, should make for a better back pedal next week, hopefully. Anyway,
are you tired of telling your friend Jake to shut up here?
Oh, shut
Stop
up,
it, guys.
Jake.
That's just
shut
not
up,
nice.
Jake. Shut up, Jake.
Okay. I'll shut up. All right, one last thing. Matt, go.
Check out the YouTube. And I posted something early this morning, and it's the new Garmin AMOLED watches, which I don't actually have on hand or on wrist, I guess you could say. But I still made a video about it because it's something that my audience is really keen to know about. And so I felt like I needed to put something out there. Mm-hmm. And I talk about that, and I talk about the timeline of the updates and how it's a bit more of a shorter product cycle or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's not a super long video. I think it's like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Cool.
Let me know what you think.
We'll do.
Or check out the Zwift Hub one if you're more curious about that. That's all on youtube.com/MLegrand.
So I've made some comments on your channel in the past, and I don't think you know that it's me talking to you, because I don't think you know what my user handle is. So
I don't.
I always kind of chuckle. I almost want to out myself, but I don't.
You can tell the way I respond too. It's like, oh, thanks for commenting. Yeah. If it was you, I'd be like, screw you, Jake.
I've got so many different YouTube accounts, and it's kind of funny because they will like kind of customize it based on what your watching patterns are. So I have a channel for just like audio video stuff. I've got a channel for just like cycling stuff. I've got one that's just for like Vans and all the other things.
Oh,
so
I should do that too, because I have it all like mixed in.
Yeah. So based on what I want, I'll just select said thing. But the one that you actually I subscribe to you on all of my YouTube channels.
Good,
so
good,
we could
good.
Inflate your numbers there a little bit. But the one that I generally watch you on, you don't know what my username is. So it's kind of funny. I've commented with you and I'm like, I'm not going to say it, because I need to have this in case I need to say something funny. So
yes, perfect.
Stay tuned.
I know you're going to say something nasty and I'm going to be like staying up at night thinking about like, oh, that jerk, whoever that is.
Start throwing out some facts about Matt. Hey, how did you know that?
Do you guys do YouTube Premium? Have you ever done that?
I am on the fence. I've been debating doing that because all of the different streaming services are starting to raise their prices, and there's so many different ones and all of the different options. I'm like, all right, if I got rid of all of them and then I just went to YouTube Premium, and you don't have to do like the commercials and all that other stuff, and they give you a really big library of a lot of different things. It's $65 though.
I think you're thinking of YouTube TV, which is slightly different than YouTube Premium. Oh, one is skipping ads on YouTube, and the other one, YouTube TV, does like all the network channels.
The premium one's the other one that I'm considering too. Sorry. So the TV, that's what I was thinking.
It'd be nice if that was all bundled together.
That was the thing, is like, I want both of them. If they bundled it together for that $65, no brainer. I would quit Spotify. I would quit all of the other apps, and I would put it all into one thing. I love Spotify, but I would quit it in favor of that just to try it out.
Yeah.
But do you, Lance?
Interesting. It's something I'm trying out right now, YouTube Premium. Yeah. And
you get a free 30 days or something. Is that right?
You do, yeah. Yeah, you do. The best thing is no ads. The ads go away. I tell you, so far, I freaking love it because nothing gets interrupted by ads, which is kind of nice. But plus you can download things to listen offline, which you can't do otherwise. And
that's nice.
But I think you have to pick one channel to do that on. That's why I was asking, Jake, because you have several different channels.
If you've got different channels, couldn't you just do 30 days free? But yeah, if you're doing the different channels, I see what you're saying there.
However many channels you have, you can do 30 days free on each one of those.
Yeah, so
there you go.
But if I'm going to actually pay for it, it's only going to be ad-free on one of them. So once that 30 days is up, I'm going to have to create a hierarchy of like, all right, this is the most important to me. This is the one I watch the most. If I'm going to go watch the stuff on fill in the blank, then commercials. And you get the music too, don't you, with that, Matt Lance?
Yeah, you get the music too, and all the music is downloadable as well. Yeah. Too. So
Spotify. Do you use Spotify? Or did you use Spotify? Or did you use any streams?
I don't.
No?
The only thing I listen to on Spotify sometimes is this podcast you're listening to right now. Yeah, so,
there you go.
And I do and occasionally Joe Rogan because he's also just on Spotify, but I don't listen to him much, hardly at all anymore.
Is that a freemium version that you listen to?
Yes.
So you get ads on there when you listen to our podcast?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Which is annoying to me.
It'd be nice if we saw some of that cheddar.
That's right.
Oh, all right. Well, that's cool. My one last thing. All right, guys, get out your calculators. What is 52 times 5. 52 times 5. Matt's doing it on his computer or calculator. Lance is crunching numbers in his head. And the winner of this is... 55? 260.
260.
Did you say 55?
52
times 5.
That was
in my head, Matt. I win.
260.
Okay.
All right. We've done a podcast pretty much every week for 5 years. So you would think that our anniversary would be 260, episode number 260, but we've done a couple weeks where we've had multiples and this, that, and the other. And I think I just shared a photo with the two of you guys when we got our very first delivery of podcast equipment.
Yeah.
And that arrived, I think it was 5 years ago yesterday.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken. So
it might have been before the podcast.
The stuff delivered. And then you guys came over a few days later, and we recorded the very first podcast.
Because we were going to do a trial.
It was a trial.
It was going to be a trial, and then you were like, this is fine. Post it,
yep. Yeah. So that was basically 5 years ago this weekend, which is in a day or two from now.
And I think I started my YouTube channel almost exactly the same time frame.
There you go.
Like another month or so from now. So
the moral of the story is we've been doing this for 5 years, boys.
Long time.
Long time listener.
Long time listener.
First time talker. That's pretty cool. I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm really big on like anniversaries and keeping track of stuff and all that fun stuff. So it's just been a lot of fun. I just wanted to say thank you. And Evan's not here. I want to thank him as well, though. Hopefully he listens to that, you know, it's been an awesome time sitting down with you guys, and we've got to meet some pretty cool people, talk to some neat folks and had a lot of listeners, and we've got all of our patrons, super generous, patrons that are helping out, taking care of the show here. I don't know. I don't want to say that we're going to be done with this anytime soon, but I don't see it. And in my future, I just love doing this too much. So pretty cool stuff. 5 years down.
It's been good.
Yeah. How long do you think we'll go, though?
Love it.
I don't know.
How long are you going to do your YouTube channel?
Well, I've got plans.
You got plans, huh?
I'm going to like turn my lifestyle into basically like whatever Lance does and add some like filming to it.
Oh.
And then it's going to be like travel / whatever.
Getting ready to retire here pretty soon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Lance, how old were you when you retired?
48.
47.
47.
Okay, so I'm going to be 46 then. So whatever Lance is minus one. So I'm going to just one up him. I'm going to one up him. And take the show on the road.
Ooh. That sounds like a plan.
That's just a pipe dream.
Yep.
You can tell it's like never going to happen.
Oh, cool. Well, anyway, happy 5 years, guys.
Happy five.
Cool.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anybody else? Got any
That's it.
Parting bits. All right. Well,
thanks for having us.
It was good.
Thanks for hosting.
We do appreciate everybody listening. We will be back next week, I hope, with another one of these. And until then, bye for now.